This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Michael Kerr, the late John Rumney, an environmentalist. You had something to say about him at the beginning of the meeting.
Absolutely. We've lost an absolute icon of this region. He was a gentleman who spent his whole life working on the reef, and it's because of him that we've got a lot of the protections that we've got today on the reef. So with his passing, I think it was absolutely appropriate that we, you know, pay tribute to his life and the things that he did here in this shire, and he was one of the great locals that will be sorely missed.
Having a look around the council, things that you do at the moment, of course you've got to keep the revenue coming in, but there are some things that you've waived, and I noticed came up in council today, refuge charges waived north of the river. Did somebody request that? Did it come as a group asking for that?
Yeah, we had quite a few people contact us. The businesses over there that were closed because the ferry wasn't operating. Now, I can understand those ones that have closed voluntarily afterwards. Unfortunately, yeah, there's not much we can do about that. But for the ones that were closed because the ferry wasn't operating, you know, I thought, well, what can we do? It may be small, but at least we're contributing something to try and help them out. And that was the purpose of it.
Interesting one with a trailer parked out front of a business in Warner Street in Port Douglas. I believe they wanted a year. Councillor Noley certainly said a year wasn't long to have a trailer out front, but you made the point that I guess if you allow that, you might get that happening with other businesses, and it's not a good look.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can understand someone setting up a temporary business while they're setting up their shop and getting themselves ready to trade as a shop in a commercial street. You know, if this was a main street anywhere else, they certainly wouldn't be allowed to park their trailer outside their business and operate out of a trailer. It's not a look that I want for this shire. So it's important that, you know, we give them the opportunity to set their business up correctly, which is what we've done by giving them 3 months to, you know, deck the shop out, make turn it into a proper retail outlet, and they can move their van around the back.
Okay, Hot and Steamy, a 3-year agreement.
Absolutely. Very successful festival last year. The guys have come to us with another proposal and we've gone into a performance agreement with them. So we'll fund them over the next 3 years and let's see how they go. I'm sure that festival will build and build and build to the point they will no longer need funding for us, but that it'll absolutely bring a great economy to the shire.
Those amounts of money, $7,000, $4,000, $2,000 over those years. And use of the Sugar Wharf.
Absolutely. You know, they had the tea dance at the Sugar Wharf last year, which was a great success, and I'm sure it will be again this year. And then, of course, the following year, we've also got the LGBTQI conference happening here, the Better Together conference, which will bring an extra 450 to 500 people along. So it'll be an even bigger event that year. And these people come here, they get to see the Shire, they get to see Port Douglas, and, you know, they tell all their friends about it, and they keep on coming back and bring, you know, more business to our businesses.
A small one here, a front fence was put up without council permission, and I guess this gives you the opportunity to say, make sure that you know the regulations and don't do things like that.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate because the business owners tried to do the right thing because of their COVID restrictions and trying to get people to go through the shop so they can get their name, address and details and all the rest of it. But unfortunately, it is an access to a public area. So it needs to be kept open, and, you know, the staff are working with them to work out other ways that they can control their COVID safe plan without having to block the whole beach area off.
Michael, the sale of the land in the Daintree, I thought that was done and dusted. Why was it brought up today?
Well, the solicitors went to draw the contract up, and unfortunately when the resolution went through council, it was done with the information that we were given, which is their trading names rather than their business names. So the solicitors have said that it'd be appropriate for us to put another motion through so that at least the motion matches the contract so that they're in the same names. And that's what that motion was for, just ensuring that legally we're still covered and that the motion that we had was the same as what the contract, which has been drawn up, is.
You wouldn't expect that to come up again in a council meeting. It's done and dusted.
Done and dusted. The sale should go through very shortly.
Mossman Pool School Swimming Program, you're reducing the entry fees. That'll make mums and dads and the kids happy.
Absolutely. We had a request from the P&Cs for most of these schools to see if they could get some assistance. The school does assist them where they can, but it still leaves the parents out of pocket quite a bit over the month, especially if you've got multiple children, and they asked if there's anything we can do to assist. So we've looked at it and we're contributing something to it. So again, it's only a small amount, but every cent counts, certainly when you're talking to all the kids, to hopefully encourage them to get to the pool, learn how to swim, and you know, if they enjoy themselves, they'll go back to this pool on the weekend and have a swim there, and they'll generate revenue again that way by buying their drinks and ice creams when they're there the second time.
New bridge name at Wyambeal, an Indigenous name?
Absolutely. It's been named according to the region. It's within the Cookeyalangi area, of course, so a name came through from them which represents the area and where the bridge is. We thought how appropriate that it has that name.
This unnamed road at Killaloe, right? It was to be named after Noel Herbert, who is involved in aquaculture, and this came up at council a while back, but the Historical Society suggested Old Ferry Road, because I didn't know this, and it certainly came to light that there was an old ferry down the end of that road past the prawn farm there, and it seemed like the councillors agreed as well.
Well, once upon a time, there was a ferry that took you from Port Douglas across to the other side of the river there, and the road went from there up until where the exit is on the highway, and it was Old Ferry Road. So the Historical Society notified us after the application had been put in by these people to name the road of what they wanted. So we've looked at all the details. Again, of course, my personal opinion, I didn't go with the motion because I believe that, you know, these people have put across a good and appropriate, and it was an application done in goodwill. You know, so I believe that in that respect, it should have been allowed to go through. But I understand totally where the Historical Society are coming from, and they've got very valid points. So the majority of the councillors, of course, went along with changing it to Old Ferry Road, and that's democracy, and that's what the name will now be, Old Ferry Road.
I like the idea that even though people don't use it, it's not an access road, gives you a little bit of a history lesson. Absolutely. As you go past it.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things I did say is even if it was called the Herbst Road, that we would have to put something there to acknowledge what the historical side of the road was. But as I said, the majority have spoken, and that's council's position now.
Diggers Bridge, down in the Mowbray Valley. A bit of a mess at the moment, but you'd like to see it, and council, you all agree that it could be done up and used for things like, say, a wedding venue.
Well, absolutely. When the new bridge had to get put in, it caused a lot of angst with the locals down there, and you know, they were promised that the area would be, you know, brought back up to a beautiful region, and if you go down there you can see it still looks like a work site in a lot of respects. So, you know, when I was down there last, I was speaking with the locals and we were talking about, you know, how the bridge is used for photographs and of weddings and that. How nice would this be if it was lovely landscaped and it could be used for the weddings themselves, not for receptions? Don't get us wrong, it's not a reception venue, just for the actual weddings themselves, and then they can have their photos taken in a beautiful area. And so, you know, we spoke to the CEO about it, and the staff have come up with this motion to get some money from the old Douglas blueprint that we're not using now and to put it towards this project to try and get a design done up and get some work done there and beautify the area even further so that it encourages people to utilise it as their wedding venue, and of course that will create another revenue stream for council.
The Sugar Wharf, more upgrades there?
Yes, so more funding came through, so we're going to be doing the works there later on in the year, and getting the upgrades done for the toilet blocks and some more room inside and etc. So we're looking forward to that happening.
Now the Daintree Ferry, the tour buses, you've given them a 50% rebate.
Well, up until now we've been having the businesses free so they could go across without charge, because a lot of the buses were going across with one or two people on them, you know, running at half capacity. And we did say last time that that would be the last free ride that they'd get, and that as of this time we'd start incrementally putting the price back up so that they'd start paying again as we move forward. So this is the first step of going to 50% off for the next couple of months through to Christmas.
Now, the budget came up today, you're $1.6 million ahead, but it's It's a very volatile situation with COVID, isn't it? And it was also pointed out that you're getting a lower interest rate on your money as well. So it's steady as she goes.
Very important. We have to keep remembering that this is a very volatile market. Anything can happen up here as far as our finances go. And yeah, we're looking at it constantly, very closely, to ensure that we're doing the best we can for the ratepayers, and we will continue to do so.
So the Tourism and Economic Development Officer, there was a little bit of fireworks this morning in Council. Councillor Noley was basically wanting a quarterly report being given to councillors. You pointed out that that's not your domain, that in fact anything like that goes to the CEO. So you did tell Councillor Noley that it could be on the point of misconduct, which got quite a response from her.
Well, it could do with the wrong things are said. You know, one thing that councillors are not allowed to do is criticise or comment about staff employment or staff abilities in their jobs in a public forum. That's not our place. Our place is a decision-making forum, which is what we do in chamber. When it comes to the staff, that's the CEO's domain and their manager's domain to control their staff and scrutinise the work that they're doing. And once they've done the projects they're doing or they've completed, they bring it to council and we make a decision whether to go ahead and fund those projects or allow them to continue with those projects. But I think it's a very risky area when we start getting the staff coming in to tell us what they've been up to and what they're doing. That's the CEO's job. They report to him, he draws a report up and he brings the report to us, showing us what the staff have been doing after it's been perused by him first.
You did mention too that Netflix are going to film a series here. Is that part of what the Tourism and Economic Development Officer does?
Well, one of our Tourism and Economic Development Officers worked very closely with the producers to ensure that all the appropriate permits and the timings of the buildings they want to use were all available. Yeah, so they did a lot of work in that area to make it a great, smooth, easy ride for these people so that, you know, they know they're welcome here and hopefully they'll come back and do more. And if we didn't have a dedicated staff member to do that sort of work, we've gone black again.
We've gone black again.
This is the second time today. This is why we had a power outage today.
Now, we did have a power outage and we've got another one right in the middle of the council meeting. What happened?
That's right. Halfway through our council meeting, we had a power outage and we lost everything, so we had to adjourn the meeting. And unfortunately, we couldn't finish the video streaming of it, but there is an audio recording, which, of course, will be put up online instead.
Okay. Well, till we talk again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And don't forget, when you do it in Douglas, #doitindouglas.